So as we come out of Christmas, a lot of you are excited. You had gifts to give, gifts to receive. Sometimes, like, Christmas can be like a letdown. Maybe you're thinking, I see all these commercials, like, where people get cars for Christmas. I keep waiting for, like, a truck with a big bow on it. It hasn't happened yet. Our bank account would let me know first, I guess. But sometimes Christmas can be like a letdown, and we maybe see what other people get, and we're jealous, and we're not content with what the Lord has given us. And this journey through the life of Moses is it just really has been ministering to my own heart, because I see a lot of myself in Israel, a lot of Israel in myself. And today you're going to see this story of discontentment, about jealousy, about making much of yourself. And I think if we're honest this morning, all of us can see ourselves in this passage this morning. We all struggle in some way of making much of us and putting others down and the grass is greener kind of thinking. So if you brought your Bible this morning, turn with me to Numbers chapter 16. Very thankful for Dustin and Joe preaching the last couple weeks. And Joe really set this passage up from last week. Just that Numbers 10 to 14 and Moses was leading them and sending out the 12 spies, and you saw some of the just anxiety and fears and some of the people there. And so you fast forward a little bit, a couple chapters, we get to number 16, and the title for this chapter, just a design to be devoted, that we're all created in a way to worship. Every human being you ever meet, we all worship. It's just a matter of what do we worship? What are we devoted to? For some of you, it's God. You're sold out. You're fully devoted to God and His mission. Some of you, you're devoted to your family. Some of you, you're devoted to your sport team, to your job, your occupation, to materials. Like, that's what's got your attention. And I'm not saying you can't have a mixture. You can be fully devoted to God and also be devoted to your family. In fact, you should be. But I think sometimes we can flip those, and we can be devoted to our family and not devoted to God. And so this passage is about devotion. And devotion is really important. Devotion, as we'll see in this passage, kind of the main idea of this whole chapter is devotion to God's chosen servant is a matter of life and death. Devotion to God's chosen servant is a matter of life and death. And so that's what you're going to see. You're going to be introduced to some characters here in chapter 16. And so let me pray, and then we will walk through this passage together. Father, this morning I pray that your word would pierce our hearts, that it would show us our sin, that it would convict us, that we'd be repentant people. Lord, I pray your word would also encourage us, that we can fight off sin, we can stand up to temptations through your help, through your guidance of your Holy Spirit, that He's empowering us. So Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us. Give us eyes to see the gospel in this passage, how we can apply it to our lives, that we can be transformed this morning. And I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's journey through number 16 today. Verse 1, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. All right, so let's get all these characters together. So you've got Korah, he's kind of like the main guy we're going to hear, okay? And then there's Dathan and Abiram. And then there's On. On we won't see again, but he's mentioned here with these guys, so he's kind of lumped in with them. Korah, he's a Levite. So let's make sure we're all on the same page. God's created, you remember Exodus 19, God wanted to have one type of people, a kingdom of priests, but they disobeyed, and so God created these categories. You had these priests, and then you had the congregation. And so all priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Everybody following with me so far? So Korah, he was a Levite. He was really special. His job was to care for the tabernacle. You remember they had built this tent, had all these different pieces in it. Korah was, because he was a Levite, his job was really important. He was to care for the tabernacle, but he was not a priest, and we'll see that a little later. Dathan and Abiram, they were from the tribe of Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob, so the firstborn is like, you know, the special one. They're the ones that get the larger inheritance in Israel. And so Dathan and Abiram and on, they think, you know, we're the firstborn. We're pretty special. And then notice that they take men, okay? So they're getting their group together. Verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with a number of people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation, chosen from the assembly, well-known men. So these weren't just your average guys. These were like people of importance, people of influence. And you're starting to see like this divide. Like this is going to be like a church split getting to happen. So this congregation's coming together. And over here you got Korah. You've got Dathan, Abiram, and on. And then you've got some others with them. And then you've got 250 chiefs of the congregation, really important guys. And then over here you got Moses and Aaron. Now let me just mention, and God. It's really important you have God. So verse 3, they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? You see what's going on? So you remember Moses, he's the guy. Like, God's pulled him out. He set him apart. Remember, Moses didn't run for this office. God gave it to him. God gave it to Aaron. And there were times where Moses would go up on the mountain and he'd be with God. Just him and God. And then Korah and Dathan and Abiram and on, they're all down at the bottom of the mountain. And they're like, why does he get to go up on the mountain? Why is he so special? What about us? And he says, we are all holy too. What makes you so special? And so you see, he's got this problem. He is jealous. Let's talk about jealousy for a moment. Jealousy, at some degree, we've all wrestled with it, more so than others. But we've all battled with being discontent or jealous or envious. And jealousy, at the heart, let's think about it. What's going on is it's an evaluation of yourself. It's the evaluation of someone else or something else. And you're evaluating yourself and you're elevating yourself, saying, I should have those things, or I should have that person, or I should have that position. So you're elevating yourself and you're lowering someone else. That you don't think they should have it, but you should have it. That's what's happening here. Korah thinks, why do you get to go up on the mountain? I'm just as good as you are. And this heart, this goes all the way back to the garden with Satan. Satan was the number one angel. And that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to be above God. And God said, there's not a chance. I'm not sharing my glory with anyone else. And so he cast Satan and other angels out of heaven. That's what we would call now demons. And you see this kind of heart. It's the same thing with Adam and Eve in the garden. They wanted to be like God. And ultimately here, what happens is Korah, even if Korah was given that position, there's still this heart of discontentment. It's not about your situation. It's not about your circumstances. That's not why you're jealous. It's in your heart. It's a heart issue. That you think God is messed up, that he should have done something better in your life than what you've been handed. And Korah felt that he should be the number one guy, not Moses. But ultimately, this is what happens. When you think that you're that the circumstances in your life is the problem, it's amazing to me. Like, even if Korah would have been given the role of Moses, the heart was still, it wasn't good enough. It was this, I want to climb the rungs of the ladder. And after he would have got above Moses, there'd only been one rung left, and it had been God. And Korah's heart would have been, why can't I be God? Why can't I make my decisions? Why can't I live how I want to live? And so you see this heart coming out in Korah and these other men. And I just want to just challenge us to search our hearts today. Is that the same kind of heart that's in you? Are you someone that fights jealousy and envy? Do you look at everybody else and go, why can't I have their kind of life? Why can't I have their house or their job? Why is my life so hard? Why do things not work out for me? That's the story of Numbers 16. Korah is jealous. He's envious of Moses. He's not content with his position. He is an important man. He's a Levite. But it just wasn't good enough. That at the heart of jealousy is this issue of pride. That we think we are far better than what we really are. That we think God should give us, you know, everything that our hearts desires. And here you see this kind of heart coming out. As we continue, so Korah just lets Moses have it. And I love his Moses' response in verse 4. So here's the first movement. Moses begins to address Korah. When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Now, when someone attacks you, when someone attacks your character, how do you typically respond? Do you fall on your face and begin to pray? That's Moses. Moses falls on his face and prays. Or do you respond the way that you were treated? This is incredible. Moses falls on his face. I would have just started giving it to him. Just letting him have it. I would have given all the list. What do you mean, is it too small for me? I would have just given him, if I was Moses, I would have given him all the accolades. Where were you when the Ten Commandments? What burning bush did God speak to you out of? Moses does none of that. He falls on his face. Verse 5. And he says to Korah and all his company, in the morning, the Lord will show you who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this. Take censers. Now, censer, it's a Levitical tool instrument that they would use to make atonement. So it's like this little thing you would put incense in, so it would put off an aroma. And so he's saying, gather this, all these censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire in them and put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the Holy One. You have gone too far, sons of Levi. So he's basically saying, hey, you know, we'll just let the Lord deal with it. And I love this. Moses does not fight back. He allows the Lord to fight his battles. It's not like vengeance is Moses' plan. He's just saying, hey, listen, the Lord will discern all this. Let's let the Lord, if you're the Holy One and you're supposed to lead Israel, fine. Let's let the Lord settle everything. So Moses, verse 8, said to Korah, hear now, sons of Levi, is it too small? So here there's a play that was accused of Moses. Now it's Now it's going back to him. Is it too small a thing for you that God, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near to him and all your brothers, the sons of Levi with you, and would you seek the priesthood also? So Moses is going right at his heart. He's saying, is it too small for you to be a Levite? Look at all the other people that's not a part of the Levites. They don't get to come into the tabernacle and care for all the instruments and all the pieces that God would use. Is this too small for you? Do you also want to be a priest? And then verse 11, therefore it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What is Aaron that you have grumbled against him? So Moses identifies his problem. The problem's in his heart, his discontentment with the Lord. You see here that Korah's problem is not with Moses. His problem is with who? It's with the Lord. The Lord raised up Moses, and Korah's problem is that the Lord didn't raise him up, that he just made him a Levite and not also a priest. And so ultimately, when we are jealous, when we're envious of others or things, we have a problem with the Lord, that we think that we are good enough, that we should deserve those things, that we should have them in our timing. And so Moses is addressing the issue of the heart. In verse 12, we continue. It says, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you must also make yourself a prince over us. You see what they've done? That they've said, we're not coming out. I hear what you're saying, but we're not gathering together like you're talking about. And then they say, it is a small thing. And then they say that you brought us out of the land of milk and honey. Joe reminded us last week that the promised land was called the land of milk and honey. And here these guys are saying, you've already brought us out of the land of milk and honey. Egypt was the promised land for us. And you remember Joe read that list of what they were missing? They were missing things like cucumbers and leeks. Like, what in the world have we come to? To where we'd rather go back and be slaves so we can have cucumbers. Are you kidding me? That's what their heart... And this is what reading through this Exodus account, man, just really hits me of just how discontent my heart can be and how quickly I can rebel against God. And so Dathan and Abiram said, we're not coming up. We're still mad at you. You brought us out of Egypt. And you're just going to make yourself this prince? Like, who? We didn't have a vote? Like, how are you going to be prince? Verse 14, moreover, you have not brought us out of, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. So this phrase, will you put out the eyes of these men, it's what we would call maybe hoodwinked. Like, you've blinded, you put a bag over all the rest of the people. Like, we're not going to follow you blindly anymore. We're done. And it's like at this point they realize we can either keep following Moses and wander around this wilderness for 40 years, or we can just do this thing ourselves. We can do it our way. And so this is what this chapter is about. Finding a new leader. We're done with Moses. We're not following him anymore. Verse 15, and Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, and I have not harmed one of them. And Moses said to Korah, be present, you and all your company, before the Lord, you and they, and Aaron, tomorrow, And let every one of you take his censer and put incense on it, and every one of you bring before the Lord his censer. 250 censers, you also, and Aaron each his censer. So every man took his censer and put fire in them and laid incense on them and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Then Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. I want you to put yourself in the story this morning. So you've been following Moses. You've seen incredible things through Moses. You've seen all these plagues, the 10 plagues. You've seen the parting of the Red Sea. You've seen bread fall the sky, this whole bread from heaven, this manna. You've seen water come out of a rock. And now you think, Moses isn't good enough. We're going to follow these other guys. So you see like two groups of people coming to the tabernacle, this division. There's this unity at the tabernacle that morning. Korah and his guys, Dathan and Abiram, and you got Moses and Aaron and the Lord. And I just think how tense it would be as they're coming together. You think maybe like West Side Story, maybe. They come snapping. Ready for this battle. You know, who's going to be the leader? Let's keep reading. Verse 25. Then Moses rose and went. Let me back up. I went too far. Verse 20. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." All right, God, you remember, he's holy. And there's unholiness in the camp. There's division, disunity. And God is upset. And he wants to consume them in a moment. I want you to check your heart. When someone rises up against you, and what if the Lord would say, "Separate yourself from them so I can consume them"? What would your heart do? "Sure, Lord. Have your way." Or you do like Moses, verse 22. And they fell on their faces and said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And will you be angry with all the congregation?" Romans 5 gives us the answer. Romans 5:18 says, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." So Paul's answer would be yes. Yes, Moses, one man's sin can lead to anger with all the congregation. And so verse 23, God agrees with Paul's writing of Romans, of course. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." So the Lord is giving a chance of repentance, saying, get away from this. They're going to be consumed. Flee from them. Verse 25, then Moses rose and went to Dathan, to Abiram, and to the elders of Israel, or the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, together with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. So Moses preaches repentance, and there's a group that repented, that left. They fled. They got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And I just want you to be reminded here that it wasn't the love of God that led them to repentance here. It wasn't God loves you so much. Get away from them. Come over here. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to preach the love of God. We need to display the love of God in our lives. But oftentimes, it's the wrath of God. It's the warnings of God that brings us to repentance. And here, they repent. They flee, at least temporarily, as we'll see. They flee their allegiance. And Moses said in verse 26, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. If these men die, as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord." That makes sense, right? If you just die how all men die, well, Moses is saying, you don't know if the Lord has sent me or not. But let's just say, for example, if the ground opens up and you get swallowed up in it, then you will know that I am sent from God. It's fair? It would have my attention, right? Verse 31, "As soon as he finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods, so they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up.' And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense." Now, you remember the 250 men. Remember them from earlier? Remember they were well-known men? These were important people. And God consumes them up in a moment. And that should remind us that God does not need any single one of us. May we never get too big. May we never say, without me, things would never get done. And this can happen in leadership. It can even happen in your business. And sometimes that will sneak in with me. Well, if I don't do this, it won't get done at church. Or HCC really needs me. And the Lord goes, are you kidding me? That church does not need you. That church will continue long after you're gone. And it will be that way for each one of us. God wants us. God desires us. But if we think that God needs us to fulfill His mission, we've gotten too big. We have too much pride in our hearts, and we need to repent. Here, these important men, these well-known men, are gone. God will raise up more men. Verse 36, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to take up the censers out of the blaze. Then scatter the fire far and wide, for they have become holy. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, and they became holy. Thus they shall be a sign to the people of Israel.' So Eleazar, the priest, took the bronze censers, which those who were burned had offered, and they were hammered out as a covering for the altar to be a reminder to the people of Israel, so that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should draw near to burn incense before the Lord, lest he become like Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him through Moses." So it's a reminder, and I want to remind you of this reminder. God is holy, but he has given these people many opportunities to repent. So So some of you think, well, that doesn't seem fair why he would just do that to them. There's been, God doesn't need to go into the game of fairness. We've all sinned, we've all rebelled. But here, even after rebellious ways, God gave them many opportunities to repent, and yet many of them did not. Some did, and the ones that did, look what happened to them in verse 41. So these were the guys that they originally were with Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and Moses warned them, and they left. They said, okay, we don't want that, we'll come over here. Watch what happens to them, verse 41. But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. All right, just stop and let's just look at this verse. There's so many problems in this verse. One, the next day. All right, yesterday you saw many people swallowed by the ground, consumed by fire. The next day you're grumbling against Moses. That doesn't seem like a good idea to me. The next day. And as I want to point my finger at these people, I got to look in the mirror. How quickly do I forget the Lord's grace and kindness in my life, and I go back to grumbling and complaining and being discontent and jealous that the Lord hasn't raised me up or done this in my life? The next day. If I'm being honest this morning, if I'm just evaluating my heart, I would have probably been in that congregation. I'd have been right there with those guys. So it was the next day, and then they grumbled against Moses. And then they say, you have killed. Like Moses has the power to just make the earth open up, to make fire come down from heaven. So one, that's a problem. And then notice how the title that they give to Korah, to Dathan and Abiram. The congregation calls them people of the Lord. You killed the people of the Lord. And Moses is going, well, I don't think I killed the people of the Lord. I think I killed the enemies of God, the ones who rebelled against him and against God's chosen servant. But I don't think any people of the Lord were harmed in this story. And the next day, they're grumbling. Verse 42. And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Now, what we've learned so far is when you're at the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord appeared, you're either going to be really excited or really nervous. Because every time it happens, some people are affirmed and some people are consumed. And so the glory of the Lord appears, verse 43, and Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from the midst of this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And what did he do? They said, yeah, Lord, please get them this time. They fell on their faces. This is an incredible picture of us, of forgiveness, realizing that our enemy is not people, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is the prince of the power of the air, that Satan is at work, and that when someone goes against you, it's so easy for us to think that is our enemy. Moses, he focuses, and that's not Moses' enemy. He realizes it, and he falls on his face again a third time. And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put fire on it from off the altar and lay incense on it and carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. So Moses, people attack him, and he just, he stops and he prays. And I hope that we can remember when we're being attacked that we pray for that person instead of praying on that person, if that makes sense. We so often want to attack and pray on that person when we should be praying for that person, not on that person. And Moses says to Aaron, go out and make atonement for them. This plague has begun. This plague goes back to what Joe taught last week, where they were being punished. This plague was going to come. Verse 47, so Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague had stopped. It's an incredible, incredible story of God's grace and patience on a rebellious people. They grumble again, and there's this picture of Aaron telling Moses, who is this priest, to go and make atonement for the people, to go out. So the congregation, the plague has broken out, people are dying, and Aaron goes out in the